The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. On today's bonus episode, I compiled a couple of my GOAT lists. Today's episode, we're going to do the Trop 10 NFL GOATs and the Trop 10 NBA GOATs. So take a listen. I'm sure a lot of you will disagree with some of my takes, but you know what? Make your own fucking show if you want to have your own fucking opinions, you idiot. Enjoy. To my Trop 10 greatest football players of all time. You know, as I've mentioned before, championships matter the most to me, and every player in the Trop 10 greatest football players of all time, every one of them has at least one Super Bowl ring, but the majority of them have multiple Super Bowl rings, as they should, because especially in football, you know, as I said, in baseball, it's a little bit different, because baseball, for the most part, is a numbers game. When you achieve certain numbers, that's really what makes you a GOAT. Championships help, but it's really mostly about numbers in baseball. But every other sport, to me, championships are what matter 100%. And they matter to me in baseball as well. It's just that there's different rules when it comes to baseball. When it comes to all the rest of the sports, I start at championships and work my way on down. So every player on this list has a championship. So I'm sorry to all you, like, Dan Marino fans and just other players who weren't as successful when it came to the postseason. Sorry, that's what matters most. So all these guys, they have Super Bowl rings. They were also, some of them, especially like the Trop 4, they are 100% the greatest player at that position. So we have like game changing, like the greatest at their position players. But then I also have just game changers, dudes who at their time who were the guy or who just their team revolved around and they were basically the heartbeat of their team, or they were just amazing players. So I'm sure some people, because you know all these greatest of all time lists, everybody likes to argue over them. In my opinion, it's like, these are just opinions. Opinions don't actually really matter. And if you just enjoy players, that's cool. But I know all of our lists are different. But I do know for a fact that there's going to be a couple players who are on the list, where some are ranked that people are going to be upset with, or who I didn't include, because there are players, like, for example, I didn't include Walter Payton, which was really difficult for me to do. I wanted to, but once I got down to like 8, 9, and 10, it was more difficult to start ranking players, and I really wanted to include Walter Payton, because I think he's one of the greatest running backs of all time, but it's just, I feel like there's other guys above him who have accomplished more. Yes, he made a great impact on the game. Hell, he definitely would be in my Trop 15. He probably would have actually been like 11 or 12. But this is my list and these are my opinions. And if you have a problem with it, well, you can suck a fat dick. Doesn't matter. They're just opinions. But anyways, let's get started with my Trop 10 greatest football players of all time, beginning with number 10. Deion Sanders played cornerback from 1989 to 2000, and then also came back in 2004 and 2005. He played with the Atlanta Falcons, the San Francisco 49ers, my Dallas Cowboys, the Washington Redskins, and the Baltimore Ravens. He is the only athlete to play in a World Series and a Super Bowl. Just the thing about Deion Sanders is he was a game changer. In my opinion, he is the greatest cornerback of all time. He was so versatile. It wasn't even just cornerback that he played great. I mean, he played wide receiver well. He was an excellent kick returner. He was an excellent punt returner. He was a ball hawk. You just couldn't get around Deion Sanders. He was just such an amazing cornerback and just an amazing all-around player that I just feel like you can't not include him in, at least I can't not include him in my top 10 just because he was one of my favorite players, hands down. But I mean, his impact on the game was something else. I mean, if you watched Deion Sanders, he was in like every commercial. He was basically the start of the flashy player. Like, you see all the dudes nowadays who care so much about the way they look and all that shit. That started with Deion Sanders. He was the first flashy motherfucker to walk in the building. But he was way more cool about it. Some, the dudes these days, some of them are such fucking posers, and you can tell. Neon Deion was exactly who he presented himself to be. And he was just a great player. He's a two-time Super Bowl champion. He won Super Bowl 29 with the San Francisco 49ers and then signed with the Dallas Cowboys the next year and won Super Bowl 30 with them. He was NFL Defensive Player of the Year in 1994. He's a six-time first-team All-Pro. He's two-time second-team All-Pro. He's an eight-time Pro Bowler. He has NFL kickoff return yards leader in 1992. He was part of the NFL 1990s All-Decade Team. He was a part of the NFL 100th Anniversary All-Time Team. He, of course, is a Hall of Famer. As a matter of fact, every guy on this list is a Hall of Famer. He was also on the All-Rookie Team in 1989. And then when you take it back to when he was in college, he played for Florida State. He was a Jim Thorpe Award winner in 1988. He was also a two-time unanimous All-American in 1987 and 1988. His career stats in pro football, total tackles, 512, 53 interceptions, 1,331 interception yards, 2,199 punt return yards, 3,523 kick return yards, and 22 total touchdowns. And I have mentioned this before on the show, but one of the greatest Deion Sanders moments of all time was a Monday Night Football game when he played for the Dallas Cowboys. He pretty much played every position besides quarterback that night. And Jason Garrett, by the way, because he was the backup quarterback, Troy Aikman was injured, so Garrett was in the game. And this was a Monday Night Football game, and Deion Sanders went off. He had a punt return for a touchdown. He had an interception return for a touchdown. He had a big reception at wide receiver where he set up the Cowboys to score yet again. And then he had a kickoff for a touchdown as well. If it wasn't for touchdown, he did end up just having a great game. But all around, it's called the Deion Sanders game because he pretty much just dominated this game. Cowboys, of course, won that game. But that's one of the reasons why he had to make the list, in my opinion, just because he was such a game changer. He was such a game breaker. And he did change the game. I mean, like I said, he was the first, like, real flashy motherfucker. And now he's coaching in college football. And He did a great job with Jackson State. He's signed his first year this year is going to be in Colorado, so we'll see what he's able to do with them. But Deion Sanders to me is a legend, and he absolutely is in my top 10. Then at number 9 on my top 10 greatest football players of all time, I know this is going to be upsetting to people. I don't know why this guy's so upsetting to people. Well, actually, I do know why, because it's the team he played for. If he didn't play for the Dallas Cowboys, let's say Emmitt Smith played for the San Francisco 49ers, everybody would just bow down to him, because for some reason, when you're a Cowboys player, everybody likes to make up all the loser excuses they possibly can to make it seem like the Cowboys of the 90s didn't have the greatest players of all time. They all like to talk down that Emmitt Smith had the greatest offensive line of all time. Certainly did, but apparently you didn't watch Emmitt Smith's career in college and high school, because guess what? The motherfucker still owns records then. And also, watch a game, stupid. It's not just the offensive line. Yeah, they set up plays, but you got to be able to make the plays after. You know what I'm saying? And then people always like to talk down Michael Irvin and Troy Aikman and Charles Haley and Darren Woodson and all these other phenomenal players, but you talk it down. They got 3 rings, and y'all can suck a motherfucking dick. And Emmitt Smith is number 9 on my top 10 greatest football players of all time. Everybody wants to talk about Barry Sanders. Well, guess what? Barry Sanders ain't got no rings. Barry Sanders performed horribly in playoff games, the like 5 playoff games that loser played in. He was a great, fun, fantastic running back to watch, but he was a fucking loser who never won shit. Emmitt Smith was the exact opposite. By the way, owns a whole bunch of records too. So let's get started with Emmitt Smith, because I know some people are dumping their diapers right now. You didn't include Walter Payton, but you got Emmitt Smith? Fuck yeah, I got Emmitt Smith on here. Emmitt Smith played running back from 1990 to 2004, mostly with the Dallas Cowboys, of course, but unfortunately he did play with the Arizona Cardinals for a little bit of time. I remember when Roy Williams, was the safety of the Dallas Cowboys, actually broke Emmitt Smith's collarbone in a game. It was a great hit, and it's the one time I was like, oh, sorry, Emmett, get the fuck out of here. But regardless, Emmett had an amazing career as a Dallas Cowboy. He was obviously, everybody played their role on this 90s team, but he was what made the engine roar. He was what made them chug. He was what made them go. Because the year they won Super Bowl 27, when they won Super Bowl 28, he actually held out at the beginning of that year. And then the Cowboys, you know, they started off the season horribly with 0-2 because he was holding out for a bigger contract. And then as soon as Emmitt Smith comes in, all of a sudden the Cowboys start winning. It's just really odd. But like I said, great players on this team at every position. This was one of the stacked-ass all-star teams you will ever see in football. Emmitt Smith was the leader of the pack. And so that's why, actually, out of all, Deion Sanders, of course, played for the 90s Cowboys team. But, I mean, at the end, he was only a part of, like, Super Bowl 30 in the end. Emmitt was a real Cowboy triplet. like I said, this is who the team revolved around. So Emmitt Smith is a three-time Super Bowl champion. He was the Super Bowl MVP of Super Bowl 28. You know, that year that he held out. The Cowboys, he also had an MVP that year, too. It's really weird. Yeah, he just was a fantastic player. But a lot of people like to just talk down on him because, you know, he had a great offensive line. You know, something that happens to every championship team. You can't find... as a matter of fact, all 10 of these guys on my list, on my top 10 greatest football players of all time, believe it or not, they had other players on the team who were just as great as them, who were Hall of Fame players. It's just some of these guys were better, but they all played on great teams. But Emmitt Smith, he did run behind one of the greatest offensive lines of all time, but he still had to make a bunch of plays. Back to the great accolades of the great Emmitt Smith. He was the NFL MVP in 1993, NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year in 1990, four-time first-team All-Pro, two-time second-team All-Pro, eight-time Pro Bowler, four-time NFL rushing yards leader, three-time NFL rushing touchdowns leader, NFL scoring leader in 1995, NFL 1990s All-Decade Team, but... What would those voters know? He's an idiot who runs behind the greatest offensive line of all time. Barry Sanders is just so much better. NFL 100th anniversary all-time team. He was an all-rookie team in 1990. As I mentioned, he was an excellent college player as well. When he played for the Florida Gators, he was SEC Most Valuable Player in 1989. Sounds like a really shitty player, you know what I mean? The SEC Most Valuable Player, weird. And then he was also a unanimous All-American in 1989. Three-time first-team All-SEC from 1987 to 89. That's just really weird. But, you know, he ran behind that really good offensive line, so he doesn't deserve any credit at all because it's all that offensive line. They did everything. They ran the football. They threw the football. It's that offensive line. Oh, yeah, the almighty offensive line. Oh, by the way, here are some NFL records that Emmitt Smith owns and not Barry Sanders. He owns the most career rushing yards, which is 18,355. By the way, that's a record that's probably never going to be broken. But you know what? Barry Sanders is way better than Emmitt Smith, right? Oh, that's right, the most career rushing touchdowns. Who has that record? Oh, Emmitt Smith does at 164. Also, who has the most career rushing attempts? Oh, that would be Emmitt Smith, 4,409. As I mentioned, those are all NFL records that still stand today. And that rushing yards one is going to stand for quite some time. Because, you know, I thought Adrian Peterson, well, I remember when he was drafted, I was like, that dude's probably the closest guy to being able to break it. No, Adrian Peterson didn't even fucking come close. Frank Gore, he got a little bit close. Nobody really expected him to, but, you know, he's up there now. Nobody's going to break that, and you can all suck a dick on that one, because you're going to be hearing the name Emmitt Smith forever and for always. And I know it's all about Barry Sanders, who I'm not trying to diss Barry Sanders. Like I said, he was a fun, flashy player to watch, but he didn't win anything at all. And his playoff performances were horrible. Even if you're on the worst team, if you're supposed to be the greatest player of all time and you don't perform in the playoffs, you're not the greatest player of all time. Emmitt Smith was the exact fucking opposite. Emmitt even owns playoff records as well. There you go. And then, of course, his career, Emmitt Smith's career, rushing yards, 18,355. Career rushing average, 4.2 yards per game. Career rushing touchdowns, 164. Career receptions, 515. Career receiving yards, 3,224. And career receiving touchdowns, 11. I know some of y'all are upset because how dare I put Emmitt Smith up there, but you can talk all the shit you want about Emmitt Smith, but there are nothing but stats to back up. Emmitt Smith is one of the greatest of all time, and you can sit around and make up all the whiny baby loser excuses you want, but you know what? Let's talk about like Thurman Thomas, another guy who at that time was a loser when it came to the playoffs. As a matter of fact, there was one year, I believe it was Super Bowl 27, when Troy Aikman, who was never known for running, he had more rushing yards than Thurman Thomas, a running back, who everybody thinks is one of the greats of all time, too. Some people think he's better than Emmitt Smith. Well, guess what? Troy Aikman had 11 whole rushing yards, and Thurman Thomas had less than that in a Super Bowl. So tell me again why Emmitt Smith is not one of the GOATs of all time. Oh, because of that offensive line. Shut the fuck up, stupids. If you don't think Emmitt Smith is one of the best, greatest of all time, you don't have to consider him the greatest running back of all time. But if you don't put him in your top five running backs, you're stupid. You don't know shit. And you should probably just gouge your own fucking eyeballs out and stop watching football because you don't know shit. You're just a Cowboys hater, which I get it. I get it. It sucked having to watch us kick your asses all those years. But guess what? We suck now. You should just be happy and enjoy. You ain't got to make up excuses as to why Emmitt Smith is, quote, not the greatest of all time or wasn't that great. He wouldn't have been that great without an offensive line. Well, how great would have Joe Montana been without Jerry Rice? Or how great would have Peyton Manning been without some of the receivers that he had along the way, the Reggie Waynes and stuff? Mean Joe Green, who's actually the next guy on my list here, he had a whole slew of players, not only on the defensive side of the ball, but on the offensive side of the as well. But Mean Joe Green is still one of the greatest players of all time. So with that being said, at number 8 on my top 10 greatest football players of all time, I have Mean Joe Green. Defensive tackle, played from 1969 to 1981. He only played with one team, and that would be the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was the leader of this 1970s Pittsburgh Steelers team, one of the most feared, one of the greatest defenses you will have ever seen. They just had killers at every position, but Mean Joe Green was the leader of the pack. He is a four-time Super Bowl champion. He is two-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year in 1972 and 1974. He was the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year in 1969. He was the NFL Man of the Year in 1979. Five-time first-team All-Pro. Three-time second-team All-Pro. 10-time Pro Bowler. He was NFL 1970s All-Decade Team. NFL 75th Anniversary All-Time Team. NFL 100th Anniversary All-Time Team. Pittsburgh Steelers All-Time Team. And when he played for the North Texas Mean Green, yeah, that was his college team. He was a consensus All-American in 1968. So even when he played for the North Texas Mean Green, Mean Joe Green, come on, man. Even when he played there, he was excellent. And his career stats, games played, 181. Games started, 172. He had 77.5 career sacks, 16 fumble recoveries, and one interception. And like I said, this guy was one of the most feared defenders of all time. He was the leader of this pack. And it's funny, like I said, nobody holds it back. Nobody holds it against him that he was on a good team. Now they do with Terry Bradshaw, which for the record, I think is fucked up and stupid because in my opinion, Terry Bradshaw is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Not just because he's got four Super Bowl rings. He was a first overall pick, people. And while he had his ups and downs, he was still a good quarterback. But you know, people like to hold that against you if you actually had a good team around you, which every championship winning team has. That's why it's called a team. Nobody holds that against Joe Green, but that's because he was mean and he probably would kick your ass. All right, then at number 7 on my top 10 greatest football players of all time, The ranking, I feel like, is going to upset some people because I think most people would have him a little bit higher on their list, but I don't. Now, he is great. He is excellent. But you know what I held against him? Some of his playoff performances. Now, he does have Super Bowls, but he's lost a couple Super Bowls. And there's been some real stinkers from this guy in the playoffs. But overall, it's really difficult to not mention the impact this guy had on the game. And so at number 7 on my top 10 greatest football players of all time, I have Peyton Manning. Quarterback from 1998 to 2015. He played for the Indianapolis Colts and the Denver Broncos. And I mean, with Peyton Manning, he 100% changed the game. The way offenses are played nowadays is because of Peyton Manning. I mean, nobody really walked in and called plays at the line the way he did. Nobody kind of created the schemes he did. He really was able to just command that offense and do whatever he wanted with it in whatever offense he was in, because this is, you know, with the Colts, they let him take over, but the Broncos did as well. And he kind of had, two separate careers, if you will, because when he went and played with the Broncos, we all basically thought it was over for him, and then he goes on and has an MVP year. As a matter of fact, a record-breaking MVP-type year, where he just broke nothing but touchdowns, for most touchdowns in a season and passing yards in a season, and it's phenomenal. And once I get to those stats, because you know I'm going to get to them, it's crazy to think that somebody at his age who had gone through what he had gone through, you know, he had those two neck surgeries, and basically the Colts let him go because they thought his career was over. He went and signed on with the Broncos and would basically go on to have a good end of his career with them. Now, his last season, of course, was not good. It was very injury-riddled. He did end up winning the Super Bowl, so he would technically go out on top, but it was not a good year for Manning. But overall, it's really difficult to overlook Peyton Manning's impact on the game. You know, like I said, I feel like he's just the stat king. But when it came to some of his playoff performances and one of his Super Bowls, most in particular when he played with the Broncos, that was his MVP year. That was when he broke a ton of records of passing yards and touchdowns. And the Seattle Seahawks came right in and made him look like one of the worst quarterbacks of all time. So that's what I mean, is like, he didn't just lose some of these playoff games or Super Bowls. He got his ass kicked, and he in particular did not have a good game. Whereas, like, for example, in the Super Bowls that Tom Brady has lost, I mean, one of them, he actually broke a record for most passing yards in a game, in the one where they lost against the Eagles. So, I mean, even though Tom Brady's lost a couple of Super Bowls, he still performed in those Super Bowls, whereas Peyton Manning looked very, very irrelevant in a few of the playoff losses. But overall, I mean, Peyton Manning is a GOAT. He, like I said, changed the game for the better as well. And he's got a long, long list of accomplishments. So let's start off with, he is a 2-time Super Bowl champ. He won one with the Colts, one with the Broncos. He was the Super Bowl MVP when he won with the Colts. He is a 5-time NFL MVP. So, I mean, that alone is a huge deal. Only he and Aaron Rodgers have won that many. Oh, wait, no, I don't think Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers is at 4, right? So there you go. Peyton Manning's got the most MVPs. He won in 2003, 2004, 2008, 2009, and 2013. He was a 2-time NFL Offensive Player of the Year, NFL Comeback Player of the Year in 2012, Walter Payton Man of the Year in 2005, 7-time first-team All-Pro, 3-time second-team All-Pro, 14-time Pro Bowler, 3-time NFL passing yards leader, 4-time NFL passing touchdowns leader, 3-time NFL passer rating leader, 2-time NFL completion percentage leader. He's on the NFL 2000s All-Decade Team, NFL 100th Anniversary All-Time Team. He was on the All-Rookie Team in 1998. He's a 3-time Burt Bell Award winner. He's also been the Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year in 2013. When you look back at his college career, he played with Tennessee and was an excellent college quarterback. You win the Maxwell Award in 1997, Golden Unitas, or Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award in 97, Davey O'Brien in 97, William Campbell Trophy in 97, SEC Player of the Year in 97, Consensus All-American in 97, First Team All-SEC in 97, and Second Team All-SEC in 1996. So, I mean, the dude's just been lighting it up his entire life because... Of course, his father, Archie Manning, he played quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, so he basically was just grew up around football, and that's all he did was football, 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 and that's why he's got so many stats and so many accomplishments. Here are a few of the NFL records he has set. As I said, that year with the Denver Broncos, 2013, I believe it was. 2013, that was when he won the MVP. That year... He set the record for most passing touchdowns in a season with 55. Then he also set that year the most passing yards in a season with 5,477. And this is when we were expecting Peyton Manning to be done. That's what he does when you say he's done. Nah. Now, he did not win the Super Bowl that year. He got trounced by the Seahawks, but still amazing. And then he also has the most touchdown passes in a game with 7. He's got a shit ton of comebacks as well. He's got some of the greatest comebacks, and they were all in, like, prime time as well. Of course, their regular season. Actually, a couple, I think he did have one or two in the postseason. Here are some of his career stats. Career passing attempts, 9,380. Passing completion, 6,125. Completion percentage, 65.3%. 539 touchdowns, 251 interceptions, 71,940 passing yards, and a 96.5 passer rating. All right, and then at number 6 on my top 10 greatest football players of all time, Reggie White. Played defensive end from 1985 to 1988 and then made a brief comeback in year 2000. He played for the Philadelphia Eagles, the Green Bay Packers, and the Carolina Panthers. If you did not get to witness Reggie White, I am really sorry for you because this is one of the greatest defensive ends you will ever see play. This guy was so feared. He changed just the way offensive lines had to block. And even if you had two guys blocking him, it didn't matter. He mollywopped people. He took dudes with one hand and get out of here. And he was just a total gentle giant, too. He was known as the Minister of Defense because he was very religious and he was really heavy into God. And I believe he actually was a minister post-career. So that was his nickname. But he was very soft-spoken guy. But, man, you get him on the field and he was a force. He was a Super Bowl champion with the Green Bay Packers. 2-time Defensive Player of the Year in 1987 and 1988. 3-time NFC Defensive Player of the Year, 1987, 91, and 95. 8-time First Team All-Pro, 5-time Second Team All-Pro, 13-time Pro Bowler, 2-time NFL Sacks Leader, NFL 1980s All-Decade Team, NFL 1990s All-Decade Team, NFL 75th Anniversary All-Time Team, NFL 100th Anniversary All-Time Team. And he also was excellent when he played in college as well. He played at Tennessee as... right there with not with Peyton Manning, but he played at Tennessee just like Peyton Manning. He was first team all USFL in 1985, unanimous All American in 1983, SEC Player of the Year in 1983, first team all SEC in 1983. And then here are some of the NFL records that Reggie White owns. Consecutive seasons with 10 plus sacks, he has 9 of them. Then seasons leading league in sacks, 2, which is now tied. And then consecutive seasons leading league in sacks with 2, which is also tied with Mark Gastineau and TJ Watt. His career stats are tackles, 1,112, sacks, 198, forced fumbles, 33, 3 interceptions, and 2 touchdowns. As I said, Reggie White was just a force on the defensive side of the ball. And we still haven't seen really anything like him at the defensive end position. All right, now at number 5, I'm a top 5 greatest football players of all time, Joe Montana, quarterback from 1979 to 1994. He played with the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. This was Tom Brady before Tom Brady. This was, if Joe Montana, all Joe Montana did was win. in the pressure situations, he won. He was called Joe Cool for a reason, and that's just because in a couple of the Super Bowls he played in, he had just two of the most amazing comeback drives you will ever see. And they were within just like a minute or two. So like he was that dude who, if you left too much time on the clock, kind of similar to the Peyton Mannings, the Tom Brady's, the Drew Brees's of recent years, Joe Montana started that gangsta shit. And he's undefeated in Super Bowls. He's a four-time Super Bowl champion. I mean, he was the leader of that dynasty team of the 80s of the 49ers. He's a three-time Super Bowl MVP, a two-time NFL MVP. He won the MVP in 1989 and 1990, NFL Offensive Player of the Year in 89, NFL Comeback Player of the Year in 86, three-time first-team All-Pro, two-time second-team All-Pro, eight-time Pro Bowler, two-time NFL passing touchdowns leader, two-time NFL passer rating leader, five-time NFL completion percentage leader. And that's really the thing with Montana. He was so accurate, and he just did his job. He just went out there. He won. He passed the ball. He didn't have to do anything fancy. He just went out there and just completed passes and did an amazing job at it. He was on the NFL 1980s All-Decade Team, NFL 75th Anniversary All-Time Team, NFL 100th Anniversary All-Time Team. And he also had a great college career as well at Notre Dame. He was a two-time AP athlete. Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's for the pros. He was a two-time AP Athlete of the Year. But he was a national champion when he played for Notre Dame in 1977. His career stats, games, he played in 192 games, started 164 of them. He had 5,391 pass attempts, 3,409 pass completions. He had a 63.2 percentage, 273 touchdowns, 139 interceptions. He passed for 40,551 passing yards and a 92.3 passer rating. So Joe Montana, he just got the job done, and just he was always reliable when it came to the key moments, when it came to the Super Bowls, the playoff games. He was a part of the catch. You know what I'm saying? Like, this guy, he's one of the greatest of all time, and he pretty much was considered the greatest quarterback of all time. And I mean, you could still make an argument for him over Tom Brady, but I mean, in my opinion, Brady's completely above everybody just because of how many Super Bowls he has and how long his career lasted. And I mean, Joe Montana's career, especially towards the end of it with the 49ers, there were times where the coach really wanted to put in Steve Young over him. And it's like, dude, you have a guy who's here winning. And not that Steve Young was one of the greatest of all time as well, but this is Joe Montana we're talking about. So a lot of his career was kind of fucked over because they kept taking him out of the game and putting Steve Young in. All right, now we're at the top four here. And as I said when I started this, these are the best players at their position. And in my opinion, it's pretty much inarguable with all of them. So let's get to number four on my top 10 greatest football players of all time. That would be Jim Brown, who I think is the greatest running back of all time. He played from 1957 to 1965. He only played for the Cleveland Browns. And you'll say to yourself, the Cleveland Browns? Yeah, this is when the Browns were actually good. Once Jim Brown left, they pretty much have been a piece of crap team ever since. Now, they won when this was before it became the NFL that it is today, before they merged together. So he didn't actually technically play in any Super Bowls, but he is an NFL champion. So like I said, that was pre-Super Bowl era. So he actually won an NFL championship in 1964. He is a three-time NFL MVP in 1957, 1958, and 1965. He was NFL Rookie of the Year in 1957. Eight-time first-team All-Pro, second-team All-Pro, nine-time Pro Bowler, eight-time NFL rushing yards leader. Yeah, eight times. Five-time NFL rushing touchdowns leader, NFL scoring leader, NFL 1960s All-Decade Team, NFL 50th Anniversary All-Time Team, NFL 75th Anniversary All-Time Team, NFL 100th Anniversary All-Time Team. And then, of course, when he played in college as well at Syracuse, he was a unanimous All-American in 1956, third team All-American in 1955. And he also played multiple sports as well. His career stats as a football player, rushing yards, 12,312, which actually was, he was the first all-time leading rusher. And Walter Payton would end up breaking that, and then Emmitt Smith would end up breaking Walter Payton's. So Jim Brown really started this shit. He's the only running back ever to average 100 yards every year of his career, and I believe average 100 yards per game as well. Like, this guy, that's all he did was run, and he was the perennial player for the Browns at this time. His career rushing average, 5.2 yards per rush. Rushing touchdowns, 106, 262 receptions with 2,499 receiving yards and 20 receiving touchdowns. All right, and then at number three on my top 10 greatest football players of all time, Lawrence Taylor, linebacker from 1981 to 1993, played for the New York Giants his entire career. And if you don't know and if you don't understand, Lawrence Taylor is literally the greatest defensive player of all time. He was something else. I mean, nobody made an impact like this guy on defense. You could honestly make an argument for him to be the greatest football player of all time. I couldn't put him above my two because there's reasoning why I have the two at the top, and it's just their work ethic, and just they really worked hard. But Lawrence Taylor was just a pure talent, and he was one of the most feared players on the field. He is a two-time Super Bowl champion. He is an NFL MVP in 1986. By the way, that was a unanimous choice. The only unanimous MVP ever, Lawrence Taylor. Three-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year, NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year in 1981, eight-time first-team All-Pro, two-time second-team All-Pro, 10-time Pro Bowler, NFL Sacks Leader in 1986, NFL 1980s All-Decade Team, NFL 75th Anniversary All-Time Team, NFL 100th Anniversary All-Time Team, two-time NFC Player of the Year, and he was also on the All-Rookie Team in 1981. And then he was also a phenomenal college football player as well when he played for the North Carolina Tar Heels. He was a unanimous All-American in 1980 and then ACC Player of the Year in 1980. His career stats, tackles 1,089, sacks 142, forced fumbles 54, and 9 interceptions. All right, now we're at the number 2 on my top 10 greatest football players of all time. The reason why this guy is number 2, he is one of the hardest workers ever. And that guy is Jerry Rice, wide receiver from 1985 to 2004. He played with the San Francisco 49ers, the Oakland Raiders, and the Seattle Seahawks. But, I mean, if you ever want to see somebody who exemplified hard work, it was Jerry Rice. First of all, he was drafted out of a HBCU. And if you're not aware, not a lot of players get drafted out of HBCUs. And so not only was he drafted out of there, he was well sought after out of Mississippi State. But what he became is just insane coming out of an HBCU. So that alone is huge. But it's just because of his hard work. I mean, if you have ever watched a Jerry Rice training video from back in the day, I mean, he would run for miles, like hills, and it would just kill him. But I mean, that's what you had to do because he was a wide receiver. You got to run. But then one thing he would do, because he had the greatest hands, I mean, just the purest, most beautiful catch you will ever see ever is Jerry Rice. And because one of the reasons why is because he would practice by catching bricks. He would have bricks thrown at him, not like from yards away, but like really close, kind of like you're just tossing back and forth. But I mean, that's a good way to get your grip. That's a good way to just make sure you're paying attention and you don't drop the ball because you don't want to drop the brick. But I mean, just his hard work, his work ethic was just, it was just above all. He is a three-time Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP, two-time NFL Offensive Player of the Year, 10-time first-team All-Pro, second-team All-Pro, 13-time Pro Bowler, 6-time NFL receiving yards leader, 2-time NFL receptions leader, 6-time NFL receiving touchdowns leader. Let me also just mention, too, Jerry Rice actually played in an era when cornerbacks could beat the crap out of you. There are so many games Jerry Rice played in that he would be just pushed down, get up. Push down, get up, push down, get up, and he'd still make the big play down the field. And, I mean, he still has all these stats, and he played in one of the most difficult eras you could ever play in. Nowadays, you can barely, if you touch a dude past 5 yards, the flag is thrown. That shit didn't happen to Jerry Rice. Like I said, dude got thrown down all the time, still made the big plays. He was the NFL scoring leader in 1987. NFL 1980s All-Decade Team, NFL 1990s All-Decade Team, NFL 75th Anniversary All-Time Team, NFL 100th Anniversary All-Time Team, All-Rookie Team in 1985, and then when he played in college, he was actually a 2-time First Team IAA All-American 1983 and 1984. Here are some of the NFL records that Jerry Rice owns. Most career receptions, 1,549. Most career receiving yards, 22,895. Most career receiving touchdowns, 197. Most career total touchdowns, 208. And most career all-purpose yards, 23,546. His career NFL stats, receptions, 1,549. Receiving yards, 22,895. Receiving yards average, 14.8. And receiving touchdowns, 197. As I said, Jerry Rice just was one of the hardest workers of all time. He was such a fun receiver to watch, and he played for the 49ers, a team that was against my Cowboys, and you didn't really want to see him win, but honestly, he was just difficult to root for, and he was just such a hard worker, and it's crazy, too, because he went on to play with the Raiders, which was just weird to see him in a Raiders jersey. As a matter of fact, my first football game I ever saw in person was a preseason game against Dallas Cowboys versus the Oakland Raiders. And I had great seats, too. I was at the 50-yard line. I think I was, like in the fifth row, like seventh row, something like that. But it was on the Raiders sideline. Now, I'm a Cowboys fan, but I saw Jerry Rice walk out of the tunnel, and I was like, holy shit, that's Jerry Rice. And he was, like, right in front of me, like, the whole time. It was, like, the coolest thing ever. I just remember every time he walked by, Jerry Rice. Oh my God, that's Jerry Rice. Oh, look, that's Jerry Rice. I got excited about Tim Brown too, but Jerry Rice is something else. And he actually used to be ranked number one for me as my greatest football players of all time. But then this guy named Tom Brady came around. And in my opinion, it's really difficult to not rank him number one. Obviously, quarterback from 2000 to 2022. Just retired this year, played for the New England Patriots and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is just another guy who just exemplifies hard work. Sixth round pick, wasn't supposed to be shit, just really got a lucky break by Drew Bledsoe getting injured. He stepped right in, played well, and just really has been the epitome of hard work right alongside Jerry Rice. That is why the two of them are at the top for me, because they came from pretty much nothing, and they weren't really expected to be much. Now, Jerry Rice, he was expected to be a good receiver, but nobody expected him to be one of the greatest ever. But that's why they're up here. But Tom Brady supplanted him, of course, because he is a 7-time Super Bowl champion. He's been to 10 Super Bowls and won 7. He's a 5-time Super Bowl MVP, 3-time NFL MVP in 2007, 2010, and 2017. NFL Offensive Player of the Year, NFL Comeback Player of the Year in 2009, 3-time First Team All-Pro, 3-time Second Team All-Pro, 15-time Pro Bowler, 5-time NFL Passing Touchdowns Leader, 4-time NFL Passing Yards Leader, 2-time NFL Passing Rating Leader, NFL Completion Percentage Leader, NFL 2000s All-Decade Team, NFL 2010s All-Decade Team, NFL 100th Anniversary All-Time Team, AP Athlete of the Year, 2-time Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. He also won a national championship when he played with Michigan in 1997. Now let's talk about a couple of the records that Tom Brady owns, because, of course, the thing about Tom Brady is he owns so many goddamn records, you can't discuss all of them. So here are a few of them. Most career quarterback wins, 251. Most career passing attempts, 12,050. Most career passing completions, 7,753. Most career passing touchdowns, 649. Most career passing yards, 89,214. Most pass completions in a season, 490. Most pass attempts in a season, 733. And the longest touchdown pass of 99 yards. And then his career NFL stats, passing attempts, 12,050, passing completions, 7,753, completion percentage, 64.3%, 649 touchdowns, 212 interceptions, 89,214 passing yards, 97.2 passer rating, 1,123 rushing yards, and 28 rushing touchdowns. And that just is tip of the iceberg with Brady. Like I said, it's really impossible because also the longevity of his career. He did things that nobody has ever done. He was able to be a winner his entire career. And I'm sorry, that puts you at number one on my list. Not just the Super Bowls, but he won at every level. He did everything right. There are literally no arguments against Tom Brady being the greatest of all time. Like I said, Jerry Rice used to be until Tom Brady won, like, once he got to seven for sure, but I think even before that, I already ranked him above Jerry Rice just because he owns everything and he's going to own many, many records until the end of time. And I don't think we're ever going to see anything like Tom Brady ever again. So that's why he's number one. So my top 10 greatest football players of all time, again, number 10, Deion Sanders, number 9, Emmitt Smith, number 8, Mean Joe Green, number 7, Peyton Manning, number 6, Reggie White, number 5, Joe Montana, number 4, Jim Brown, number 3, Lawrence Taylor, number 2, Jerry Rice, and number 1, Tom Brady. Yeah, that's right. The top 10 NBA GOATs of all time. Since it's such a big list, I couldn't do just 5. It had to be 10 because you got to give respect to all of them. This 10 was very difficult to whittle down. To me, the top two, I feel like, are hands down. They are the top two. For many reasons, once we get there, you'll understand why, but I feel like the top two players that I put at number one and two, they could alternate between one and two. It was difficult for me to really, really decide who I was going to put where. There were a couple on here. There's one player in particular. I know you all are going to think, oh, it's because you love him. Yeah, we'll just say it, my favorite player of all time. If you've been listening to the show or you know me, you know who that is. But once we get there, we'll get there. But you'll think there's bias, but there is not. I analyzed the stats. I looked at other people's lists throughout the history. It was difficult to do this. You know, I really struggled with who I thought should go where, but I feel like this to me are the top 10 NBA GOATs of all time. My parameters kind of in this: number one thing that matters to me when I am discussing any GOAT ever, championships. That is all I care about. That is the number one fucking stat. So that did play a factor into some of these players as to maybe why you think they should be higher or lower. But to me, the number one factor in anything that matters to me the most are championships. Then, of course, how you play in the postseason, just overall, that matters. If you do not shine when the lights are brightest, you do not matter to me. And that goes for my own teams. If you play for one of my teams and you fade away come playoff time or come right now, since we're talking about the NBA finals time, if you can't show up during the biggest moments, you are a piece of fucking shit in my book, and I don't want you on my team. So that matters most to me. Number fucking one are championships. 100%. Now, of course, that is not the only thing that matters. Is championships. A couple of things I noticed with all 10 of these players is they are great at all levels of basketball that they played in. So a few of these players on my list here, they actually did not attend college. They went straight from high school to the NBA. And that matters, though, that the fact that they skipped college, came right into the NBA, and they both shined. One, he had to sit on the bench for a little bit, but that was just because of the circumstance he was in. The other one shined right off the fucking bat. But then others, who did have college careers, they were great, even at the college level and also at the high school level. So the guys who I have on my list who skipped college, they were great in high school. They were obviously great in high school. But then also, too, same with these other guys. They were great in college. They won national championships or got their teams to national championships. They were all American players. And then also they were great in high school as well. So these are people or players that I'm selecting who have had spectacular careers at every single level of basketball they have ever played at. Some of these guys have even been coaches. Now, I did not count their coaching careers. I'm not even going to discuss really their records as coaches or anything. These are just straight up players because I feel like being a player and being a coach are two separate things. But some of these guys, yes, they would go on to coach, including one who coached, was a coach and a player at the exact same time. Who also made this. So that's another parameter I had onto this. Then also as well, transcendence of the game. Some of these guys, one of them in particular, basically created branding for all, not just athletes and basketball players, but for all celebrities who have a brand nowadays can thank one of the top 10 NBA GOATs of all time for branding ever. And we all know who I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about. Not going to say it right now. We'll get there when we get there. But their transcendence of the game, kind of their just their impact on the game as well. Like if they kind of changed the game. A lot of these guys, once they hit the league, literally changed the game for whatever reason. Then also just what kind of dominating player they were, who, if they dominated just in their prime, if they dominated in the playoffs, if they dominated, if they were just like an MVP type player for a 3 to 5 year span, or longer in some of these cases here. But that too, then also on this list, there is only one player who is currently playing in the league who I even considered on this, because for me personally, I can't count you if you are still playing in the league. Now, one player I did, and that's just because his entire resume speaks volumes. He's won championships. He's multi-time record holder in many categories of things, and he's also at the tail end of his career. So I kind of feel like I could put him in here, but there's a couple players who are currently in the league who I did debate upon, Steph Curry being one of them, just because he, speaking of impact on the game and changing the game, Steph Curry 100% is a player who changed the game, but he's not a player I can't consider for my top 10 at this point in time because he still has the rest of his career to go. And we don't know how long it's going to be. We don't know what it's going to look like. He could win more championships. He could do a lot more, but it's a player like Steph Curry who I did not consider just because he still has a way to go. And there was one player and one player alone who I could consider in this. And everybody's going to be mad at a couple of these, especially the current player, because a lot of people think this current player in the league is the number one overall player of all time. And in my opinion, he doesn't even come close. He didn't even reach my top five. He made the top 10 because I'm not that disrespectful towards the player. I respect him and his career, but he is not the number one overall player ever. At least on my list, he could be on yours, but you little fangirls, sorry, he ain't number one on mine, and he will never be number one on mine. Doesn't even come close. So let's get started. Now that we kind of got the little bit of parameters set here, let's get started on the top 10 greatest NBA players of all time. The top 10 NBA GOATs. I'll shorten it to GOATs just because it's easier to say that the multiple times I will be saying it. But we all know these are the greatest top 10 of all time. As I said, this was a difficult list to put together, but I feel these are the top 10 players ever in the NBA, beginning with Wilt Chamberlain, who played from 1959 to 1973. He was primarily a center. He played for the Philadelphia/San Francisco Warriors. Then he played for the Philadelphia 76ers and the Los Angeles Lakers. And if you really look at the history of the NBA, he was pretty much the first real superstar. He was the cool dude. He was who you wanted to be. When you're playing basketball, if you were playing with your friends and I'm going to be so-and-so, you would be Wilt Chamberlain if you were growing up in this time. He was cool. He was flashy. He was dominating. He was everything. And so to me, he was the first superstar in the NBA in this era, and he just dominated his time. First of all, beginning with his championships, he is a two-time NBA champion. He won in 1967 and 1972. His overall finals series record is 2-4, so he's been to 6 NBA finals overall, and he won 2 of them. In total, Wilt Chamberlain owns 72 NBA records. So obviously, I'm not going to mention all of the records he owns, but he is, of course, the one player ever to score 100 points in a game. There isn't even footage of it. You can't even see it. You can't even watch it. We don't even have any locker room footage of him. All we have is the one picture of him holding up a piece of paper that says 100 on it. And Wilt Chamberlain was literally the most dominating guy at this time. Now, Bill Russell played at the same time, and Bill Russell does make this list just so y'all know. But him and Bill Russell were the two most dominating players in the league. But if you, like I said, you wanted to be the cool dude, you wanted to be Wilt Chamberlain. But he had a 100-point game, and he just dominated every single motherfucker. So let's just run off a few of the accomplishments in the great career that was Wilt Chamberlain. He was NBA Finals MVP in the 1972 NBA Finals. He is a 4-time MVP. He won MVPs in 1960, 1966, 1967, and 1968. So he won 3 straight. That's how dominating this dude was. He was a 13-time NBA All-Star. He was the NBA All-Star Game MVP in 1916. He is a 7-time All-NBA First Team, 3-time All-NBA Second Team, 2-time NBA All-Defensive First Team, NBA Rookie of the Year in 1960, 7-time NBA scoring champion, and he was the 7-time champion from 1960 to 1966. So he did it 7 years in a row. He was the all-time scorer as a center. He was the 11-time NBA rebounding champ, NBA assist leader in 1968. He had the most rebounds in one game with 55. He's been on the NBA anniversary team of the 35th anniversary, the 50th anniversary, and the 75th anniversary. He also played with the Harlem Globetrotters as well, right before he went to the NBA, because he didn't want to play. He played college, was very dominating, and he played with the Kansas Jayhawks, took them to a national championship, but didn't want to play in college anymore. So he ended up playing with the Harlem Globetrotters for a year and then went to the NBA. But he was a draw as a Harlem Globetrotter. But also, mentioning his college career, when he played for the Kansas Jayhawks, he was the NCAA Tournament Most Outstanding Player in 1957. He was a 2-time consensus First Team All-American in 1957 and 1958. He was also First Team All-Big 7 in 1957. He was also Mr. Basketball USA in 1955, and his career stats are points. He has a career stats of 31,419 points, averaging 30.1 points per game. He had 23,924 career rebounds, averaging 22.9 rebounds per game, and then had 4,643 career assists, averaging 4.4 assists per game. So as I said, Wilt Chamberlain, one of the GOATs, the first real superstar that the NBA ever had. And I mean, he just dominated his time, his era. And he played alongside, I mean, this era of basketball, you know, this day and age, it's not really about the center anymore. But you're going to find I have quite a few centers in my top 10, and that's just because the center position used to be the most dominating position out on the court. Not anymore, but it used to be. And Wilt Chamberlain played in a time where you had literally some of the greatest centers ever, and he was one of them, and he did his damn thing. So he was number 10 on my top 10 NBA GOATs. At number 9 on my top 10 NBA GOATs, I have Larry Bird. Played from 1979, from 1992. He was primarily a forward. Played his entire career with the Boston Celtics. Obviously, his transcendence. He changed the game. Both he and Magic Johnson changed the game. They made basketball what it was in the 80s. Everybody wanted to tune in to Larry Bird versus Magic Johnson, whether it was when they were in college or whether it was when they were in the NBA, but you knew this was going to be the funnest game ever, and Larry Bird was part of the reason why. This guy was a badass motherfucker. He has some of the greatest moments in NBA history where he would look at you, and he would look at you and say, I'm going to stand right here. I'm going to stand in this spot, and I'm going to shoot a three, and I'm going to make it. And he would then, that's what would happen on the next play. He'd get the ball on the inbound, turn around at the three-point line, turn around, make it, and then just have this look right the dude right in the eye and be like, see, bitch, told you. That's what kind of player Larry Bird was, a scrappy-ass motherfucker. And he, like I said, changed the game and just was one of the main reasons why in the 80s, everybody wanted to watch basketball. He is a three-time NBA champion. He won in 1981, 1984, and 1986. His overall finals series record is 3-2, so he has been to 5 total finals overall. He is a two-time NBA Finals MVP. He won the Finals MVP in 84 and 86. He is a three-time NBA MVP, 1984, 1985, and 1986, 3 years in a row. He is a 12-time NBA All-Star, NBA All-Star Game MVP in 1982. He's a 9-time All-NBA First Team. He's a 1-time All-NBA Second Team, 3-time NBA All-Defensive Second Team, NBA Rookie of the Year in 1980, NBA All-Rookie Team in 1980, 3-time NBA Three-Point Contest Champion winner. He is a 2-time 50-40-90 club in 1987 and 1988. And if you are a basketball fan, you know the 50-40-90 club is one of the most unique and rare clubs to ever be in. I believe only 2 or 3 players have ever done this before. And the fact that he's done it twice is amazing. He was also the AP Athlete of the Year in 1986. He's NBA anniversary team on the 50th anniversary team and the 75th anniversary team. He was National College Player of the Year in 1979, 2-time consensus First Team All-American in 1978 and 1979, third team All-American in 1977, 2-time MVC Player of the Year in 1978 and 1979, and he played for Indiana State, if you didn't know, for in college, and he dominated in college. Like I said, he and Magic Johnson, if you grew up in that era, that was what you were watching basketball for these two guys. Larry Bird's career stats, points, career points is 21,791, averaging 24.3 points per game. At career rebounds, 8,974, averaging 10 rebounds per game. And then career assists, 5,695, 6.3 average assists per game. So as I said, Larry Bird, one of the game changers of that era, and just was really, in the 80s, basketball really took off in the 80s. And it just really accelerated from there. But the 80s was where it really just started to take over. And because, I mean, nowadays, basketball fans aren't aware that, you know, even when I was a kid in the 90s, in the early 90s, basketball games, including playoff games, would be preempted and you wouldn't see them till after the 10 o'clock news. And so some games wouldn't be on until like midnight. And that's because basketball wasn't that popular. But in the 80s is when it really people started to grasp onto it. And it was really because of Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. Their rivalry was just something else. And the two of them really are what I feel, kind of set the NBA off into a really positive trajectory and just only went from there, especially with some players that I'm about to mention, including number 8 on my top 10 NBA GOATs of all time, Shaquille O'Neal. Played center from 1992 to 2011. The teams he played for, the Orlando Magic, Los Angeles Lakers, Miami Heat, Phoenix Suns, Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Boston Celtics. If you remember, Shaq was by far one of the most dominating players of all time. As a matter of fact, in my personal opinion, he's the last really dominant center the NBA has had. Because this guy, he, coming out of college, everybody thought this guy was going to be the next Jordan because he came in with great charisma. And as I said, was just talking about with Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, Shaquille O'Neal took what they did and just made people want to watch basketball even more. He and Kobe Bryant really just made the Lakers team one of the most exciting, watchable teams. Hell, even the Magic team that he played for with Penny Hardaway. Everybody wanted to watch the Magic when Shaq played for the Magic. So just his charisma, who he was, his brand, he was huge. Even though he's, you know, physically huge, he was larger than life as a persona in basketball. I mean, he starred in movies. He was a DJ. He was a rapper. He was in the entertainment world. He was just that dude. He is a 4-time NBA champion. He won in 2000, 2001, 2002, and 2006. His final series record is 4-2. So he's been to 6 total NBA finals. He is a 3-time NBA finals MVP from 2000 to 2002. He is an NBA MVP in 2000. Really, the 2000 year for Shaquille O'Neal is one of the craziest years, one of the most dominating years a player has ever had. I mean, like, to watch him score, like, he has, like, 60-point games. Yet 6-0, not 16, 60-point games. And so that 2000 year when he won the MVP, that was nuts. That guy, he was just so dominating. It was insane. He was a 15-time NBA All-Star, 3-time NBA All-Star Game MVP, 8-time All-NBA First Team, 2-time All-NBA Second Team, 4-time All-NBA Third Team, 3-time NBA All-Defensive Second Team, NBA Rookie of the Year in 1993, NBA All-Rookie First Team in 1993, two-time NBA Scoring Champion in 95 and 2000. 2-time IBM award winner. He's on anniversary teams, the 50th and the 75th anniversary teams. He was the 1991 AP Player of the Year. He was the 1991 UPI Player of the Year. He was the 1991 Adol Rupp Trophy winner. And then now we're going to get into his college years. He played with LSU, if you don't know. And he was one of the most sought-after players in the early 90s. Out of college, hell, out of high school, Shaq could have gone straight to the pros and been dominating. In college, he was a 2-time consensus first team All-American in 1991 and 92, 2-time SEC Player of the Year, 91, 92, NCAA blocks leader in 1992, NCAA rebounding leader in 1991. He was USA's basketball male athlete of the year in 1994, McDonald's All-American Game co-MVP in 1989, first team parade All-American in 1989, and he was, of course, Texas Mr. Basketball in 1989. So Shaq has just been one of the most dominating players since high school. His career stats, career points, 28,596, averaging 23.7 points per game. Career rebounds, 13,099, averaging 10.9 rebounds per game. And then career blocks, 2,732, averaging 2.3 blocks per game. So as I said, Shaq not only was a dominating figure in basketball, but he's one of the reasons why branding is where it is today. As I said, he took what Larry Bird and Magic Johnson did and what Michael Jordan did as well and then just accelerated it even further. And even today, if you're watching TV, you are going to see Shaq in a commercial at some fucking point. And even for the dumbest shit, but who cares? He's making money. If I'm Shaq, I'm taking all the fucking money I can get, so get it, dude. But I mean, that's what Shaq has done. He has really just transcended the game. And as I said, he was in movies. He was a DJ. He was a rapper. I mean, he was the whole package and also a dominating basketball player. So Shaq had to make my drop 10. All right, fangirls, I'm sorry. Get your diapers ready because you are about to shit them. My number 7 on my top 10 NBA GOATs of all time, the only current player on my list right now still playing in the league today would be LeBron James. He was drafted in 2003, still plays to this day. He primarily plays the forward position, but he has, at certain points in his career, played every position, single position on the court. So you definitely have to give it up to him for that, because any player who could do that, that just goes to show what you are an all-around excellent basketball player. The teams he's played for, the Cleveland Cavaliers, Miami Heat, and the Los Angeles Lakers so far. Obviously, LeBron still has a ways to go. So one thing I'm not going to cover with LeBron are his career stats, because obviously he still is going to be padding his career stats, because I feel like LeBron has a good at least probably 3 years left in him. Who knows, because you never know with injuries and all that, but with the way he takes care of himself, I kind of feel like he's got at least, and the level of play he still plays at, he still has probably another good 3 years in him left. But yeah, he's a four-time champion. He won in 2012, 2013, 2016, and 2020. His finals series record is 4-6. So he has been to 10 NBA finals overall. He went to 8 straight at one point, so that's a big deal. You know, a lot of people, as I was saying before I started the list, would put him at number one. I do not, just because I feel like all the 6 players ahead of him, I feel like are just, especially championship-wise, because as I stated before, the number one thing I care about are championships. Everybody ahead of him has won more championships than him and has a better championship record than him. So that matters to me. But I can't be disrespectful to the career of LeBron James, because LeBron has been, I mean, you really got to give it up to him. He's been sought after and talked about since he was 16 years old. His junior year of high school is when they started talking about him being the next, basically, Michael Jordan to hit the league. And he really has lived up to those expectations. He's put them on his shoulder and he's carried it and he has had no issues doing it. So you really got to respect the dude for the moves he's made. You know, he's never really had any type of controversies. He's never like been caught doing drugs. He's never been caught with like any type of scandals. He's never been caught cheating the game. He's never been caught using steroids. He's never... Overall, other than the decision, and whoopty fucking do about that. To me, I mean, yeah, it was dumb, but I mean, who the fuck cares? I mean, that if that's what you're holding against LeBron at this point in time, you need to fucking move on at this point. But overall, his career, he's definitely been the most dominant player of this era for sure. Nobody could touch what he did. But like I said, to me, his championship record is why I cannot put him above others. And for the record, I don't believe he's going to appear in any more NBA finals, and I don't think he's going to win any more NBA finals. So I think this is going to be where he's at. Because for one, Lakers ain't going anywhere this year. That's for goddamn sure. Then next year, I guess they could, but I mean, to me, I kind of feel like we're not going to see LeBron in the finals anymore. There's, of course, a possibility. We have no idea what he's going to do in the future. Obviously, he's kind of hanging on for his oldest son, Bronny. He's getting close to, I believe he's, a senior in high school this year. And so he's going to be going to college here pretty soon. So there's still a couple years till he's going to hit the NBA. And once he hits the NBA, who knows if he's going to get selected and where he's going to get selected. Chances are, though, if because he does look like he's going to be a good player. So let's say he's a first pick in the draft. Let's say he's a top 10 pick in the draft. That means he's going to a pretty shitty team. And while LeBron, yes, is a game-changing player, they would be on a shitty team. So chances are LeBron is not going back to another NBA final. So that's probably what his record's going to be. But as I said, he still has time. But I mean, he's accomplished so much, I couldn't overlook him for this list. Because as I said before I began the list, he's padded the resume. He's continuing to pad the resume. And the fact that he is now the all-time leading scorer in the NBA, a record that has stood most of my lifetime, says a lot. And then he's got just so many other records. He's got the championships. He's been the most dominating player of this era. In his brand, he's a billionaire. So, I mean, it just kind of says it all. And you, in my opinion, you can't disrespect him in the top 10. But he definitely wasn't even close to my top 5. Here are some of LeBron's career highlights thus far. As I said, he is the all-time leading scoring champion, so that's obviously going to continue to grow. He's probably going to make it so out of reach that it's going to take a really, really long time, if ever, for anybody to pass that. And right now, he's currently fourth all-time in assists as well, so he could go further in that. Him and Chris Paul are the only two. Chris Paul's number 3 and LeBron's number 4. So the two of them, they could climb up there, but they do have a ways to go. He is a 4-time NBA Finals MVP. He's a 4-time NBA MVP in 2009, 2010, 2012, and 2013. 19-time NBA All-Star selection, 3-time NBA All-Star Game MVP, 13-time All-NBA First Team, 3-time All-NBA Second Team, 2-time All-NBA Third Team, 5-time NBA All-Defensive First Team, 1-time NBA All-Defensive Second Team, NBA Rookie of the Year in 2004, NBA All-Rookie First Team 2004. He was the scoring champ in 2008. He was the assist leader in 2020. He was selected to the 75th anniversary team. He is also the 4-time AP Athlete of the Year. He is a 3-time Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year. He was a USA Basketball Male Athlete of the Year in 2012. And then, as I said, he did not go to college, but he was extremely sought after in high school. So here are some of his high school accomplishments. He was the 2-time National High School Player of the Year in 2002 and 2003, McDonald's All-American Game MVP in 2003, 2-time First Team Parade All-American in 2002 and 2003, and then 3-time Ohio Mr. Basketball 2001, 2002, and 2003. So obviously, LeBron can continue to add to his stellar career as it is, he did not come close to even my top 6 here, because as I said, to me it's all about the championships. Number 1, that's what matters most, and all 6 of these guys ahead of him were killers when it came to the playoffs. Not that LeBron's not a killer, but I'm looking through it real quick just to see if anybody's under 500, and none of them are under 500. As a matter of fact, one of these players went to double digit. A couple of these players went to double digit finals, NBA finals, and they have well above 500 as their record. So, sorry, LeBron fangirls. I know you guys are all really upset at me because how dare I not at least put him in the top 5? He's got to be top 5. No, he does not, because these 6 above him, as a matter of fact, I don't think he comes close to them. But so here are my top 6. On my top 10 NBA GOATs of all time. So number 6, Tim Duncan. He played from 1997 to 2016. He played power forward and center, but primarily power forward and really the greatest power forward of all time. Since we're talking about just overall NBA players, not position specific, but if we were breaking down just power forwards, Tim Duncan is number 1. He, of course, played for the San Antonio Spurs for his entire career, which I just love and respect because it's so rare, especially these days. But, I mean, it's been rare always for a player to play with one team forever. Tim Duncan was that dude. And let me tell you about Tim Duncan. He changed an organization. Not only did he come into the NBA and just play great, dominating basketball, But the San Antonio Spurs would still be a laughing stock if it was not for Tim Duncan. Now, you know, they had David Robinson, and he was a baller, but they were never a team that was going to come close to a championship until the day they drafted Tim Duncan. They draft Tim Duncan, and this team turns into one of the most dominating dynasties of all fucking time. The Spurs have not been the same since Tim Duncan retired, by the way. They are a laughing stock of a team and have been, literally, since he retired. They have been at the bottom. I think they've made the playoffs once or haven't even made the playoffs since Tim Duncan retired. So this dude was so dominating that he turned an entire organization all around. So Tim Duncan is that dude. He is a five-time NBA champion. He won championships in 1999, 2003, 2005, 2007, and 2014. His overall final series record is 5-1. So he's been to six NBA finals and only lost one. This guy is a beast. He dominated in a huge era too with Shaq and Yao Ming. I mean, this and Kobe and Vince Carter and Allen Iverson. I mean, we had dudes in this era that were just dominant, but Tim Duncan was that dude. And like I said, turned an organization around. The Spurs are five-time champions because of Tim Duncan. And like I said, David Robinson was an amazing, amazing, amazing player. I ain't even trying to diss that dude. I loved David Robinson. As a matter of fact, David Robinson was the first basketball card I ever got in my life. And I loved it. And ever since that day, I was like, I'm rooting for David Robinson. So I love me some David Robinson. But the Spurs weren't shit until the day they drafted Tim Duncan. Let's go over some of Tim Duncan's career highlights, shall we? Three-time NBA Finals MVP, two-time NBA MVP in 2002 and 2003, 15-time NBA All-Star, NBA All-Star Game co-MVP in 2000, 10-time All-NBA First Team, three-time All-NBA Second Team, two-time All-NBA Third Team, eight-time NBA All-Defensive First Team, seven-time NBA All-Defensive Second Team, NBA Rookie of the Year in 1998, NBA All-Rookie First Team in 1998, NBA Teammate of the Year in 2015, USA Basketball Male Athlete of the Year in 2003, Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year in 2003, IBM Award winner in 2002. He is a member of the 75th Anniversary Team. Now, let's get to his college accomplishments because he did play for Wake Forest and was just one of the most dominating college basketball players of his era as well. Consensus National College Player of the Year in 1997. Two-time Consensus First Team All-American in 1996 and 1997. Chip Hilton Player of the Year in 1997. NCAA Rebounding Leader in 1997. Three-time NABC Defensive Player of the Year from 95 to 97. ACC Athlete of the Year in 1997. Two-time ACC Player of the Year, 96 and 97. Three-time First Team All-ACC from 95 to 97. And his career stats, career points, 26,496, averaging 19 points per game. Career rebounds, 15,091, averaging 10.8 rebounds per game. And career assists, 4,225, averaging 3 assists per game. As I said, Tim Duncan turned the Spurs around. He is a legend. I mean, that dude deserves a statue outside of the Spurs stadium for damn sure, because five championships was basically unheard of for the Spurs at one point. And they drafted him, and they pretty much went to the playoffs every single year Tim Duncan was there. They were a dynasty while he was there. They were one of the most feared teams while he was there, and they were always fucking in it. Tim Duncan, by the way, one of my most favorite players of all time. Loved watching Tim Duncan. His career was just fan-fucking-tastic. And it was difficult for me to not put him in the top five. It was hard to put him at six, but I mean, the five above him, I couldn't do it. Now, between five and six, I think you could alternate the two, but once you hear who number five is on my list, you're going to be like, oh, well, of course she put him above Tim Duncan because it's my favorite basketball player of all time. So let's get to number five on my top 10 greatest basketball players of all time. That would be my favorite basketball player ever, Kobe Bryant. played from 1996 to 2016, was a shooting guard. He played for my Lakers for his entire career. So once again, like I said, with Tim Duncan, because Tim Duncan and Kobe Bryant are my two favorite basketball players ever. Kobe Bryant's number one. Tim Duncan is number two. And I enjoyed the hell out of both of their careers. They both retired the same year. I do have a shirt that has the both of them on it that says end of an era, because that for me was, it was an end of an era, a great era. One of my, I just loved watching them both play basketball. But now we're talking about my dude, Kobe Bryant. He has to be in your top 10. I know a lot of people, when he played, he was one of the most hated. But the dude had such determination and grit from day fucking one. He is a five-time NBA champion. He won championships in 2000, 2001, 2002, 2009, and 2010. His finals series record is 5-2, so he's been to 6 total. He is a two-time NBA Finals MVP, NBA MVP in 2008, 18-time NBA All-Star, four-time NBA All-Star Game MVP, 11-time All-NBA First Team, two-time All-NBA Second Team, two-time All-NBA Third Team, 9-time NBA All-Defensive First Team, 3-time NBA All-Defensive Second Team, 2-time NBA Scoring Champ in 2006 and 2007, which is completely hilarious because, as we all know, Kobe Bryant had the second most points scored in a NBA game with 81 in one of the greatest games of all time. When Kobe played, everybody had a problem with him shooting so much. But in today's game, everybody likes to see you shoot the hell out of the ball. Everybody wants to see Steph Curry just throw it up. But back in Kobe's day, he was just the most selfish motherfucker because he wanted to just keep shooting the ball. But anyways, back to his accomplishments. He's the NBA Slam Dunk Contest champion in 97, NBA All-Rookie Second Team in 97. He was a part of the NBA 75th Anniversary Team. And then now, this is also a player on my list who did not attend college. He went straight from high school to the pros. And if you don't remember, when Kobe was in high school, he actually has a famous practice where he played against the Philadelphia 76ers pro basketball team and actually played really well and schooled a bunch of pro players while he was a high schooler. That's when we all knew Kobe Bryant was going to be the great Kobe Bryant. So here are some of his high school accomplishments. He was a Gatorade National Player of the Year in 1996, the Naismith Prep Player of the Year in 1996, McDonald's All-American in 1996, First Team Parade All-American in 1996, and Fourth Team Parade All-American in 1995. His career stats, career points, 33,643, averaging 25 points per game. Career rebounds, 7,047, averaging 5.2 rebounds per game. And career assists, 6,306, averaging 4.7 assists per game. So as you know, Kobe is my favorite player of all time. That's why I could put him above Tim Duncan, even though if you're just breaking it down, I feel like you could just alternate the two of them. They were a part of the two biggest dynasties of that era. I mean, the Lakers and the Spurs. If the Lakers weren't winning the championship, the Spurs basically were winning the championship. That's what it was for that beginning 2000s era right there. And so, yeah, I think you could alternate the two of them. But for me, of course, I love Kobe, so I'm going to put him above everybody. I would have put him number one if these four above him didn't achieve that much more than him. But Kobe, one of the GOATs. And not only is it sad that he is dead, but it just sucks. When he retired, basketball has not been the same for me personally since he and Tim Duncan retired. I haven't enjoyed it as much. I don't know why. I mean, the players these days are pretty big crybabies, which is kind of a turnoff. And I know I'm not the only one who has that issue, by the way, but they're just not as, they just don't have as much grit and determination as the dudes of the old did. And Kobe was one of those guys. And, you know, as I mentioned with Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, those two in the 80s really just took basketball to a whole other level. Kobe was one of those dudes too. He just took what they did and just kept elevating from there. All right, at number four on my top 10 NBA GOATs, I have Bill Russell. Played center. From 1956 to 1969, he played his entire career with the Boston Celtics. This is one of the most decorated, accomplished basketball players you will ever fucking see. He is an 11-time NBA champion. Two of those he won as a player coach. Yes, he was a coach and a player at the exact same time. So he won championships in 1957, and then he won took 1958 off. That was when he lost the NBA Finals, his only NBA Finals he ever lost. Then in 1959 through 1966, he won championships. Then in 1968 and in 1969, he won championships. So as I said, he was 11-1 in his NBA Finals. So he went to 12 NBA Finals. Bill Russell went to the NBA playoffs every year of his career. Basically went to the NBA Finals every year of his career. That says a lot. Yeah, I know a lot of people like to kind of discredit Bill Russell because he didn't play in a time where the players were like they are now. First of all, it's not his fault he played in that time. Also, you're forgetting he played in an era with Wilt fucking Chamberlain. Get a grip, people. One of the greatest ever is Wilt Chamberlain. And Bill Russell dominated his fucking ass. So shut the fuck up. Well, I mean, their careers didn't really coincide that much. But, I mean, just come on, y'all. Don't disrespect Bill Russell. He was disrespected enough by Boston Celtics fans at many points in his career. So let's not disrespect the resume that is Bill Russell. Because Bill Russell, I feel like he could be number one. I mean, the fact that he's 11-1 in NBA championships should really just say it all. But I know in today's day and age, we're a bunch of losers and we don't really look to championships anymore. We have to make a bunch of excuses to make LeBron James the greatest of all time. But anyways, I digress. Let's get to Bill Russell's career highlights, okay? So he is a 5-time NBA MVP. In 1958, 1961, 62, 63, and 65. 12-time NBA All-Star, NBA All-Star Game MVP in 1963, 3-time All-NBA First Team, 8-time All-NBA Second Team, NBA All-Defensive First Team, 4-time NBA Rebounding Champion, NBA Lifetime Achievement Award, NBA Anniversary Team in the 25th Anniversary, 35th, 50th, and 75th. So that's 4 anniversary teams. Nobody else on this list is there. And then when you take a look at his college career, he was a two-time champion in college basketball as well in 1955 and 1956. He was the NCAA tournament most outstanding player in 1955, UPI College Player of the Year in 1956, two-time Helms Player of the Year in 55 and 56. 2-time consensus first team All-American in 55 and 56, WCC Player of the Year in 1956, and 3-time first team All-WCC 1954, 55, and 56. His career stat lines, career points, 14,522, averaging 15.1 points per game. Career rebounds, 21,620 rebounds per game, averaging 22.5 rebounds per game. And then career assists, 4,100, averaging 4.13 assists per game. So Bill Russell, I feel like is definitely a guy you can put at number one, just with championships alone. I mean, the fact that he coached the team. And then, as I've mentioned in multiple past episodes when discussing Bill Russell, the dude was treated like absolute fucking shit by even his own fans. If you don't recall, there is a horrible story about he and his wife and children leaving their house and some Boston Celtics fans breaking into his house, breaking and smashing all of his trophies and smearing shit in their bed. That is what they did to an 11-time NBA champion. So just the fact alone, the shit that Bill Russell had to put up with through his career. He was one of the greatest ever and really didn't get respect at all until well after his career. I mean, he didn't even get a statue in front of the Boston Celtics Arena until, I believe, 2010, 2011. And his career ended in 1969. That says a lot, because Bill Russell is one of the most legendary players ever. Whether or not you got him at number one or even in your top 10 of players ever, he is a legend. And the fact that one of the greatest ever took that long to get a statue in front of the team he played for and coached for and won 11 championships for, that's appalling. But Bill Russell, I respect the fucking shit out of you, and you are at number four on my top 10 NBA GOATs. All right, now at number three on my top 10 NBA GOATs, Magic Johnson. He played from 1979 to 1991 and then came back for the 1996 season. He primarily played point guard, but he was also a player just like LeBron James, who played every single position at some point in his career. So that does say a lot. He played for the Lakers for his entire career. He is a five-time NBA champion in 1980, 1982, 1985, 1987, and 1988. His finals record is 5-4. So he's been to 9 NBA finals. And as I was saying about Larry Bird, and hell, even as I was saying about Kobe Bryant and Tim Duncan, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson owned their era. If the Celtics weren't winning the championship, it was the Lakers who were winning the championship at that point in time. So, and as you see, I mean, when I just named it off, it's basically like every other year, Magic Johnson won. And then, of course, unfortunately, you know, he contracted HIV in 1992. So, of course, he had to retire. And then he did come back for 1996 season, but he just was never the same. So, honestly, what really sucks about Magic Johnson's career ending is he could have potentially been the greatest player of all time, because he had to retire in the prime of his career. I mean, he was still, at that point in time, one of the best players ever to be playing the game. And he was still tearing it up and still playing great, top-notch basketball. So he could have added a lot more to this resume that he already has. But unfortunately, he was HIV positive and had to retire. But other than that, here are his career stats beyond that. He's a three-time NBA Finals MVP, three-time NBA MVP in 1987, 1989, and 1990, 12-time NBA All-Star, two-time NBA All-Star Game MVP, nine-time All-NBA First Team, All-NBA Second Team, NBA All-Rookie Team, four-time NBA Assists Leader, two-time NBA Steals Leader, IBM Award Winner in 1984, NBA Lifetime Achievement Award winner in 2019. He's an NBA Anniversary Team member in the 50th and the 75th anniversary teams. Then, of course, his college career at Michigan State was also outstanding. He won the national championship in 1979, beating out Larry Bird. He was the Final Four Most Outstanding Player in 1979, Consensus First Team All-American in 1979, Second Team All-American in 1978, third-team All-American in 1978, two-time first-team All-Big Ten in 1978 and 79, first-team Parade All-American in 1977, McDonald's All-American in 1977, and Mr. Basketball of Michigan in 1977. His career stat line, career points, 17,707, averaging 19.5 points per game. Career rebounds, 6,559, averaging 7.2 rebounds per game. And then career assists, 10,141, averaging 11.2 assists per game. And, I mean, if you watch Magic Johnson, he changed the game when he hit the scene. There was not a point guard at his size level when he played the way in the era that he did. And he just really, really dominated this era and changed the game. And like I said, he and Larry Bird were those dudes in the 80s. They really just took the NBA. Ratings were through the roof. You know, that's when you first started getting shoe deals. And boom, here we are in today's NBA. And you could really thank the greatness that is Magic Johnson and also Larry Bird. All right, so now moving on to number two on my top 10 greatest NBA players of all time. This might be upsetting to some people, but when I explain it and break it down, you'll know. But I feel like you can alternate these two at one and two as well, because obviously, to me, they are number one and two. Because there's only one person who has more rings than them, and that would be Bill Russell, who has 11. But both of these guys are six-time NBA champions, so it's like you look at that. So really, for me, what really separated these two is that number one basically if you look at his entire career, including college and high school, he's probably the greatest basketball player ever. Like, to just touch a basketball. Like, he was just built to play basketball. So, number two might be upsetting to some people, but I put him there, and that is Michael Jordan. He played from 1984 to 1993, then 1995 to 1998, and then 2001 to 2003. He was a shooting guard, played for the Chicago Bulls and the Washington Wizards. Now, when I started, before I started the list, I did mention that there was one person on here who really changed branding for everybody, for all people in the entertainment industry, not just basketball players, not just athletes, but every single entertainer who has a brand and has some type of shoe deal or some type of drink deal or just some type of endorsement deal, they can all thank Michael Jordan, because the Jordan brand is really, really what created the branding era, and it's just taken off from there. So we can all thank Michael Jordan. If you are a person who is receiving some type of endorsement deal, thank Michael fucking Jordan, because that dude started that scene and he's still continuing it. I mean, it's crazy how much the Jordan brand earns to this day. I mean, it's just insane what Michael Jordan did and what Michael Jordan did for the game in general. Because like I just said about Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, in the 80s, they took off. And then from there, it went Michael Jordan. And then from there, it was like Shaq and Kobe and Tim Duncan. And now we've got LeBron and Steph Curry. So it's like Jordan was like the Nike swoosh. I mean, it's perfect. Because that's what his trajectory was. Just straight the fuck up, and it's still going straight the fuck up. So, of course, he is a six-time NBA champion. He won championships in 91, 92, 93, 96, 97, and 98. That's right, two three-peats. His finals record, 6-0. Yeah, 6-0. So he hasn't even lost a finals. The thing about Michael Jordan, too, you feared Michael Jordan. You did not want to play Michael Jordan. The dude would step on the court and change everything. He was a six-time NBA Finals MVP. Yep, he won the MVP in all six of the finals he played in. Five-time NBA MVP in 1988, 1991, 1992, 1996, 1998. 14-time NBA All-Star, 3-time NBA All-Star Game MVP, 10-time All-NBA First Team, 1-time All-NBA Second Team, NBA Defensive Player of the Year in 1988, 9-time NBA All-Defensive First Team. So while Michael Jordan gets credit for being very cutthroat and making some of the greatest shots of all time, clutch shots of all time, notice I'm talking about his defense. He does not get credit for what an amazing defender he was, just like Kobe Bryant. NBA Rookie of the Year in 1985, NBA All-Rookie First Team in 1985, 10-time NBA Scoring Champion, 3-time NBA Steals Leader, 2-time NBA Slam Dunk Contest Champion in 87 and 88, 3-time AP Athlete of the Year in 91, 92, 93, Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year in 91, 2-time IBM Award Winner in 85 and 89. He's a part of the 50th and 75th anniversary teams. And then turning to his college career, when he played for the Tar Heels, North Carolina Tar Heels, he won a national championship in 1982. National College Player of the Year in 1984, 2-time Sporting News National Player of the Year in 83 and 84, 2-time Consensus First-Time All-American in 83 and 84, ACC Player of the Year in 84, ACC Athlete of the Year in 84, 2-time First Team All-ACC in 83 and 84, ACC Rookie of the Year in 82, and 2-time USA Basketball Male Athlete of the Year in 83 and 84, McDonald's All-American in 81, and First Team Parade All-American in 1981. His career stat lines, career points, 32,292, averaging 30.1 points per game. Career rebounds, 6,672, averaging 6.2 rebounds per game, and 5,633 career assists, averaging 5.3 assists per game. So Michael Jordan could be your number one, but he is not my number one. My number one on my top 10 greatest basketball players of all time, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He played from 1969 to 1989. He was a center, played for the Milwaukee Bucks and the Los Angeles Lakers. He is also a six-time NBA champion. He won championships in 1971, 1980, 1982, 1985, 1987, and 1988. His final series record is 6-4. So he went to 10 NBA finals and won 6 of them. That's one of the reasons why I put him above Jordan. He's a 2-time NBA Finals MVP, 6-time NBA MVP in 71, 72, 74, 76, 77, 1980. You also got to remember, too, his famous hook shot, one of the most famous shots. He basically created his own play that nobody has ever really duplicated ever. He's a 19-time NBA All-Star, 10-time All-NBA First Team, 5-time All-NBA Second Team, 5-time NBA All-Defensive First Team, 6-time All-NBA Defensive Second Team, NBA Rookie of the Year in 1970, NBA All-Rookie First Team in 1970, 2-time NBA Scoring Champion in 71 and 72, NBA Rebounding Leader in 76, 4-time NBA blocks leader in 75, 76, 79, and 80. NBA anniversary teams, 35th, 50th, and 75th. And then turning to his college career, and this is what also put him above Michael Jordan, in my opinion, because if you separate Kareem's careers, and of course, by the way, if you don't know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's real name, or born name, is Lou Alcindor. So that's who he was when he played with the UCLA Bruins in his college career. But if you look at his college career and his NBA career and you separate the two of them out, they're two of the most accomplished careers ever in just pro and college. And so this is why I put Kareem above Michael Jordan as my number one GOAT ever. He's a 3-time NCAA champion, 67, 68, and 69. 3-time Final Four Most Outstanding Player in 67, 68, and 69. 3-time National College Player of the Year, 67, 68, and 69. 3-time consensus first team All-American in 67, 68, and 69. Just so you all know, I am repeating these because just so I can say 69 this many times. He was also 2-time Mr. Basketball USA in 1964 and 1965. Unfortunately, not 1969. And he was also 3-time first team Parade All-American, 63, 64, and 65. His career stat line, career points, 38,387, which stood as the all-time leader all the way till this year. From 1989 until 2023, he owned that record. And he averaged 24.6 points per game, career rebounds, 17,440, averaging 11.2 rebounds per game, career assists, 5,660, averaging 3.6 assists per game. So, KD's top 10 greatest basketball players of all time. Number 10, Wilt Chamberlain. Number 9, Larry Bird. Number 8, Shaquille O'Neal. Number 7, LeBron James. Number 6, Tim Duncan. Number 5, Kobe Bryant. Number 4, Bill Russell. Number 3, Magic Johnson. Number 2, Michael Jordan. And number 1, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So that is my top 10 greatest NBA players of all time. I feel like they should be on anybody's list. You could just kind of move them around wherever you want to. But that's who I feel are the greatest of all time. And it was difficult to break it down. I did research all week, looked at their stats consistently all week, and just kind of set my parameters and did what I did, and that is who I came up with. So that is my top 10, and I know it's upsetting to a few, especially where I put LeBron, because he's supposed to be number one to some, but not to me. Number one to me is Kareem. Number one is Kareem. You could put Michael there, definitely put my arguments for Michael up there, but I've got number one as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.